This is the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, just updating the tournament a little bit. Right now you have North Carolina up by 5 on Michigan State as they play about 16 minutes to go in the second half there. So it always kind of feels like the madness doesn't really kick in until you lose that first number one seed. What number one seed is it going to be? Well, North Carolina's got a lead, but still only 5 as they play early on second half. Already today, Gonzaga took out Kansas 89-68. Kansas looked like the Brooklyn Nets shooting the ball in the second half. They could not throw it in the ocean. So Gonzaga is on to third round, to the Sweet 16, as they win 89-68. And then Arizona 78-68. Over Dayton. Creighton plays later tonight. Number 2 Tennessee plays later tonight. And the, I guess the story, or the upset story at least so far, Oakland, they're back in action as they will play NC State. So it's the Gordon Damer Show. It's 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. Talking a little football, talked a little Giants. I got to pull up the, I don't remember, after the Giants, I know the Jets picked 10. I have to find out where are the Broncos at for this year. They 12? Let me pull that up. Let me pull it up and show you what I got here. Now my computer's not working. All right, Joe, you find it out for me. Give me the first round for the Giants. Tell me where the Vikings are and where the okay, so Vikings 11, Broncos 12. Yeah, and those are the two teams, right? Broncos certainly want to get their quarterback situation solved after the whole thing with Russell Wilson, so they're open for business. And I don't know, man. If I were buying futures of teams that might blow up and be really bad moving forward, Broncos might be one of those teams that I'd feel confident in. If I can get a first-round pick a year from now on a team that might be going the other way, and already the Broncos had a rough season this year. I'm not sold on the coach there and that whole situation. They're paying a ton of money to a guy who's not even going to be there. Their quarterback, they might be kind of desperate to add a quarterback. And you'd have to think the Vikings are desperate to add a quarterback. If somehow the Giants can get one of those two teams to trade up with them, by all means, I think that would be the right move long term. And I know that when you're in a position to get a quarterback, you get a quarterback. You're basic. It's like deja vu all over again with the Giants. The sixth pick. Hey, let's overdraft some guy at 6 and throw him into this situation with not a lot of weapons and answers on offense. And maybe this time it'll work. So we're talking about the Giants. I did want to hit on the Jets because big week for the Jet fans. Oh, big week. A lot of hoopla. All the moves. And it already started when they added Tyron Smith. And then this week they went out and they get Mike Williams. So they've got their left tackle. They get their second wide receiver. And here's the only thing that I would ask for as a non-Jet fan. You can be excited. You can be pumped up. You can like this move. You like this player. Mike Williams, he's healthy, a big-time weapon, a red zone. I get catch radius. Oh, all those terms. And Tyron Smith, if he's healthy, left tackle, all pro kind of player, Pro Bowl type of player, best left tackle you've had in a long time. I get it. And you can have all that hoopla. All I would ask is when you thrown out all the excitement and all that, that there can be just a smidge, just a skosh, just a pinch of acknowledgement that all these moves were necessary because of the failures of the GM who made all those moves, who is still the GM now. You would not need to go out and get Mike Williams if you didn't already strike out on Denzel Mims and Elijah Moore. Is it Elijah Moore? Why does that not sound right? Elijah Moore.
It's Elijah Moore.
It's been gone so long, I forgot how to say his name. You wouldn't need Tyron Smith if you didn't swing and miss on Mekhi Becton. You wouldn't need a left tackle. That was supposed to be your left tackle. He was the 11th pick in the draft. So when you get all excited, and everybody likes when their team makes moves, they get this guy, I get it. But can you just just a little perspective, just a little nuance when you're sharing your excitement of the moves that your GM has made, because most of Joe Douglas's moves this offseason are to make up for Joe Douglas's mistakes in previous offseasons. And it's not new this year. It was the same thing last year, right? Aaron Rodgers would not be here if Zach Wilson could play at all. So as a Jet fan, I get it. You're excited. You feel like it's all coming together now. You get Rodgers back and healthy. You got to improve the offensive line. They made moves there. They needed to get a secondary wide receiver who could take some pressure off Garrett Wilson. You got that. Mike Williams. Fantastic. And who knows? Maybe this time it will all work out. Maybe this time guys who have previously been hurt in other destinations will come to the Jets and be the healthiest version of themselves. It could happen. Stranger things have happened in the world. I don't know that many stranger, but stranger things have happened. But could you just have, I don't know. I would feel like you've been burned so many times that you would kind of take the approach of, it sounds good, but let's see how it works out. Doesn't seem like that happens very often. It's Mike, we got Mike, he's eating a Taylor ham, egg, and cheese. Print those Super Bowl tickets. Print those Super Bowl tickets. The other thing with the Jets, and it feels even more, I said this last week, now that they've got Mike Williams on board, it's even more so. And you've heard this. This is a narrative going into the draft. Big time narrative being told to you. And it's that the Jets moves this offseason. The moves that Joe Douglas has made this offseason is not just improved the team. What it's done is it's now it allows the Jets to go into the draft not having to pick for need. They can just take the best player available. If it's at 10, if they trade down, if they trade up. I saw a lot of reports this week. I think it was before the Mike Williams thing. There was one report. Who was it? Daniel Jeremiah, who had the Jets making a blockbuster move, trading up from 10 to 5 and drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. Of course, he did not give any details for what that draft would look, what the compensation would be. But Daniel Jeremiah is a guy who's got some connections, at least in the past, with Joe Douglas. You got to at least consider that. So I don't know. I think it's more likely the Jets trade down than trade up. But I will say this. From now until the draft, which is 33 days away, the Jets do not go into this draft with a wide-open, best player available type of situation. They absolutely, wherever they're picking, if it's 10, if it's 5, if it's 12, if it's 32, I don't care where it is, their greatest need and where their pick should be focused is still along the offensive line. It's great that they added Tyron Smith, and when healthy, he is a real factor. He is a real player at left tackle. Problem is, he's not healthy all that often. The Cowboys, who don't exactly have a left tackle, allow Tyron Smith to walk out the door for basically nothing after getting him healthy enough to play in 13 games, 13 regular season games last year. Morgan Moses, good signing. Back with the Jets, he's 33. He played 14 games last year and dealt with a pec injury that he played through. The Jets' greatest need is still the offensive line. You can get a wide receiver later in the draft. This draft is supposed to be very deep in wide receivers and tight end, wide receivers and offensive linemen. Here's my question. If you have a wide receiver who's a project or an offensive lineman who's a project, which one do you think you'll need more in a crisis next year? Who do you think you'll be relying on more? An offensive lineman in the draft or a wide receiver in the draft? And which one do you think has a better chance of coming in right away and being successful? A wide receiver in the first round who might be your third wide receiver, or an offensive lineman who very well might at some point be forced to play because of the age and injury history of your two tackles? Offensive line is critical. And this is, for Joe Douglas, I would think this is your last chance. It's almost like studying before a test. Your kid has a test the next day and they want to go off and do something else. You sure you studied enough? You sure you've done enough? You are sure that the moves you've made up along the offensive line, you're good with those, and you don't need to supplement that with the first round pick? If I were a Jet fan, I'd be screaming it from the mountains, from the mountaintops. Draft an offensive lineman. Because here's the thing. Let's say that Tyron Smith is healthier this upcoming season than ever before. He plays in every single game. It's not going to happen. But let's say he just plays in every single game. And let's say Morgan Moses is healthy every single game. Tyron Smith is signed on a one-year deal. Morgan Moses is 33 years old. What, you think these guys are going to last forever? I'd like to think that next year this time, the Jets are not going to have the 10th pick in the draft. I'd like to think that the draft pick is going to be much more lower down. So I'd like to use this last top 10 pick that I hope that this is the last time I'm going to be picking in the top 10 for a very long time on a real impact position. The impact position, left tackle, quarterback, shutdown corner, pass rusher. Feels like the Jets are kind of set at pass rusher. At least they don't need to draft another one, not after last year. They got their shutdown corner. They're not going to pick a quarterback at number 10. What does that leave? Left tackle. So if the Jets are smart, if Joe Douglas, and I think that they are, I think that this is still the way it's going to go. But you keep hearing this. Oh, no, they could go any. They could add a skill position player. They could add Brock Bowers. They could do this. They could do that. Absolutely not. The biggest need is still the Jets' offensive line. It's nice that they've added some pieces. They needed to. It was the number one thing they had to solve this offseason. I don't feel confident that it's solved yet. I'm throwing everything I can at the problem, and that would include their first-round pick, no matter where that pick is.
This is the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN. A hungry Damer is never full.
At this stage of my life, eating is like 90% of my joy.
Where he answers the unanswerable.
Got to do something with my hands. I got to get busy.
No algorithm can defeat the GD.
Just take it right in the face. Right in the face. Don't worry about it.
These are Gordon Damer's leftovers.
Oh, yes. Rangers hockey coming up here. Bottom of the hour, 7:30. Dan Grasso, pre and post. Don LaGreca on the call. You got your Saturday night set. You're certainly not leaving the house in this. Woof, what a... Again, I think we should get rid of the setting the clocks back and just set the calendar back. We move this, all of a sudden we go right back to February. Because this is February. This is not March weather. This is February, people. We got fooled there for that week where it seemed like, oh, we've made it through the winter. And now, winter's back. We're like a month behind on everything. I think we got to reset it. But it is the Gordon Damer Show. It's time for the leftovers. These are the things that have not come up in the course of our regular show content, but things that have been on our minds. Joe, you got one for me?
I got one, and it's the impending Jet holiday that will be the Zach Wilson transaction. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it comes from not Schefter. I'm hoping for the show's perspective it comes from Samini, just because I want him to add that to his book. Mm-hmm. But you would think he's going to get released at this point, right? It's been long enough, and there's been enough quarterback transactions that you look around the league and you go, well, if that guy's going for that, how are you going to get anything for Zach Wilson?
I don't know. I would say this. I would figure if they know they don't have anything, and it feels like a lot of the quarterback spots have already been snatched up, if they knew that, or I would think you would hold on to him until the draft, just kind of hoping as a lottery ticket that maybe you could throw him in there somehow. And it just doesn't seem like there's any interest. And I think that if you are a smart NFL organization who realize, and I brought this up last week, and you realize you're not going anywhere, you're the Broncos, you're maybe the Titans, you call up the Jets and say, hey, we will take Zach Wilson. We will pick up all the money, but you are going to give us your third round pick next year. I think Joe Douglas would do that because Joe Douglas is not guaranteed next year.
If Zach Wilson is on this team come draft day, I will have a stroke.
No. I think that the only thing, if he's on the team after the draft, then you've got a legitimate beef. At this point, it's still the offseason. Who knows? Maybe something will pop up here. Joe Douglas will work his match. He's done very well in trades. This is his toughest challenge. Yeah, this is like Houdini getting out of that box with the handcuffs around his back. This one's going to be tough. I'm not going to lie. I don't have high hopes that all of a sudden he's going to be able to find something, but I think you have to wait. I don't think the last thing you want is just simply release him and eat all the money. You would like to think that it, even if a team picks up some of the money.
I'm totally fine with that. I just need him out of my life.
That as someone who has, you weren't here last week, Joe. We'd have to say the last 5 years, what athlete has been mentioned the most on all the shows on the station? Has to be Zach. Well, Zach Wilson was the second overall pick, but I think he's the number one pick when it comes to that, right?
Yeah, it has to be Zach. I mean, we did an episode of a Zach Wilson free zone. That's what I want for the rest of my life is a Zach Wilson
free zone. Well, it's coming. You're going to get it eventually. It's just taking a little while longer. That will be a very sad day. You think about all the conversations.
For you.
Oh, it's been delight. He has been manna from heaven. We're going to have to get some highlights out. We're going to have to get the Sarah McLachlan song out. I will remember you, Zach Wilson. I will remember you. I will remember from the day you were picked to the start, the first preseason, everybody was raving about how good he looked. He's ready to go. We don't need a veteran starter. We're going to throw him right in there. No, actually, we're going to get a veteran starter. We're going to give him a little break. Actually, he's going to go read a book and come back. Actually, we got to get Aaron Rodgers in here so Zach can just have a year to catch his breath. Actually, Zach's going to play. What a whirlwind it's been. What a time. What a time to be alive. The Jets and Zach Wilson. That might be a Cimini book all in of itself.
He's not an athlete, or he's not a player, but Boone has to be in that conversation, right?
Aaron Boone, yeah, probably. I just think that football is operating from such a high level that
Tibbs
it would be
Tibbs is
impossible.
Up there, too.
Tibbs, you think?
I would say if this was a horse race, it would be a photo finish between Tibbs.
But Tibbs has been successful. That's what doesn't make any
maybe
sense.
Maybe Randall? Julius Randle?
Yeah, Julius Randle.
Is that the horse? The neck and neck between Randle and
I
Wilson?
I almost wish we could have like a family feud. Poll 100 people and get the top five answers on the board. Randle would have to be up there. Zach Wilson would have. Daniel Jones would probably have to be up there. Saquon Barkley.
Dave Gettleman,
another tough one. Joe Douglas. Brian Cashman. I mean,
Hold on.
Cashman's got to be in top five.
Cashman is top three.
Because every Yankee conversation comes back
Absolutely.
To Cashman.
He's more so than Boone. Absolutely.
Yes. Cashman, Randall, Zach Wilson. See, because Wilson, all the conversation is negative. So negative drive sports talk radio. So I feel like top three would be Zach Wilson. I would put Cashman two, and then probably Randall three. But that would be fascinating to have like an AI algorithm to be able to go back and listen to the last 5 years of every show on the station and come up with what the official list is. Oh, that would be fascinating. Speaking of, because we're running out of time here, Ranger hockey is coming your way. And maybe we'll get more into this on Monday night with Larry. The reports are that Tibbs is expected to be talking contract extension this offseason with the Knicks. And that makes perfect sense, right? He's going into the final year of his contract. He doesn't want to be a lame duck. And when that happens, there will be a portion of the Knicks fan base who's unhappy because they don't like Tibbs for whatever reason, despite the success. I would just simply ask you guys, who do you want? Who do you want to be the head coach? And the funny thing is, I feel like if we compiled a list of that, I feel like the number one answer would be Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson, he's a former Knick. He's the defensive guy. He's going to come in here and lay a groundwork of defense with the young players. That's what Tibbs is. It makes no sense. It would be one thing if you thought that there was some Tibbs was somehow holding the Knicks back. And some other coach would be able to unlock the potential of the roster. Tibbs is getting more out of the roster because it's his kind of roster than anybody else. The reason why they've gone into this next phase here and progressed the way they have with the move for OG when he's been healthy is because they have focused the team around Tibbs-style players. Josh Hart is a Tibbs-style player. McBride is a Tibbs-style player. So I would just simply ask Knick fans, and again, we'll get more into this on Monday when Larry and I resumed the ESPN New York Tonight with the goat madness and everything else. If you're a Knicks fan and you loathe Tibbs and you want someone else, I would just simply ask, who is this magical person you want coaching the team, and how do you think that they would be doing a better job with this group than Tibbs is doing? All right, that's going to do it for us for today. What an amazing Saturday show. We kick things off following a big Knicks win. We're leading right into Rangers pregame. Dan Grosse coming your way. Don LaGreca on the call. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to Julian. Thanks to all the callers. We'll be back Monday night along with Larry Hardesty here on 98.7 FM.